Anybody else has one they'd like to say? You'll have a chance to give that out too. Number 40. Well, happy day. That fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Number 40. Someone would please start these.
Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its rapture on the cross. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
Jesus loves me.
that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves thee and me.
Is it 27?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was singing that one and I didn't know if it was me or you. Start 27.
Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation story repeat o'er and o'er. Till men can say of the children of men, nobody ever has told me before. Did he so love me, a poor little boy? Send unto me the good tidings of joy. Need I not perish, my hand will he hold. Nobody ever the story has told. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation story repeat o'er and o'er. Till none can say of the children of men, nobody ever has told me before. Bending we caught the last words of his breath, just as he entered the valley of death. God sent his son, whosoever said he, and I am sure that he sent him for me. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation story repeat o'er and o'er. Till none can say of the children of men, nobody ever has told me before. Smiling he said as his last sigh was spent, I am so glad that for me he was sent. Whispered while low sank the sun in the west, Lord, I believe, tell it now to the rest. Tell it again, salvation story repeat o'er and o'er. Till none can say of the children of men, nobody ever has told me before.
That's a good story. Anybody else?
66.
66.
When he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his love and his home, like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in his beauty, bright gems for his crown. He will gather the gems for his kingdom, all the saved ones, all the bright ones, his loved and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in his beauty, bright gems for his crown. Little children, who love their Redeemer, are the jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. Like the stars.
girl named Bethany, and Bethany's not here, so I can't ask her if she has a song, but I can ask Lauren. Would you like this? Carter, maybe? 32. Someone knows what you like. Number 32.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me.
And Reuben called what he built, perhaps, seems like perhaps he called it Ed. Reuben built something called Ed, and that's my name. And so Reuben is kind of like me. He built something called Ed. We're going to talk about Reuben. So if we talked about Reuben, where would we find Reuben? Thinking of Genesis, aren't you? Maybe? So we'll go to Genesis, but not first. And we'll go to Judges. We talked about Reuben too, but we're not going to go to Judges. First, we're going to go to James. Genesis, Judges. But first, James, to talk about Reuben. James in James chapter 1. And I'd like to read verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, we talked about yesterday about having the mind of Christ. being of one mind, and that mind being the mind of Christ. But we're going to talk about being double-minded today, and we're going to talk about Reuben. But first, verse 5, it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, because God doesn't upbraid. When I was in second grade, I asked my teacher something, and she upbraided me. I said, Mrs. Kaufman, where do these paintbrushes go? I think it was paintbrushes. And she said, Ed, you know where those paintbrushes go. See, I lacked wisdom, but she upbraided me for asking for wisdom. She said, you know the answer to that. And so I kind of got afraid of Mrs. Kaufman because she upbraided me when I asked for wisdom. But that's not the kind of God we have. When we ask wisdom, he doesn't scold us for asking. He gives us freely. But it says that we should ask in faith and not waver. As a double-minded man, wavers. Now, my wife is at home. And if I told you that my wife has a double, what would you think my wife is? What would you call my wife if I told you my wife has a double? Double. I hear twin. My wife is a twin. Now, my wife and her sister, you might think are the same, but I know they're different. But twins are a lot alike, you know, because they're doubles. So how do you have a double mind? Can you have two minds? We read a kind of foolish book to our children about a giant that had two heads. Well, that was pretty foolish. But one head was Jethro and one was Joel, and they didn't. One said to do this and one said to do that. And so you never knew what the giant was going to do, because sometimes Jethro was in control and sometimes Joel was. Well, I don't know if there was any profit to that story or not, but that was kind of a double-minded giant. He just didn't know what he was going to do next. So that's kind of what it means to be double-minded, and it says this person would be unstable, like a wave of the sea. Now, Mr. Gray was kind to get me this glass of water, but something about water is it's not very stable, is it? You can make waves in the water. You could blow on a block of wood all day and you'd never make waves, would you? But you can make waves in water. You know, Lauren's dad is building a house, and there's lots of snow in the yard, but they didn't build the house on the snow, did they? You know, you could pack that snow down pretty good, and I've built houses out of snow before. And they seem pretty solid. When you first build a snow fort, you call it a fort and it seems like a good solid house. But it's not very long and the sun comes out like it is today and the snow melts. And if you built a house on the snow, it would be pretty sad because it would fall over eventually, wouldn't it? Unless you live far enough north. But the water just isn't stable. A double-minded man. Well, I think what it means to be double-minded is you can't make up your mind if you're really going to trust God, if you really think God's will is best. And that was Reuben. See, farther down in the first chapter of James, it talks about children. You know, my father is here today, and you can probably tell who he is. We were at the old folks' home last week, and one of the older ladies said to my brother, she said, is he your brother? And you look just alike, which was pretty nice of her to say, but, you know, she could see something similar. Well, when we're kind of like our parents. You know, I saw Lauren, and I said, she looks like her dad. And I saw her mom, and I said, she looks like her mom. You know, we look like her parents, don't we? And so there's something that comes down that we're like our parents. So look in verse 13, it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So here's a child of lust. That would be Reuben, sometimes. But you know what lust is? It's when you want something, and it's something we know about from our earliest days. It's like this, grabbing something. And it doesn't belong to us, and God didn't give it to us, but we want it anyway. And that would be lust. And so, in our hearts, we want it, and then we go after it, and that's sin. And then sin, lust gives birth to sin, and then when sin develops, it turns into death. That is a sad family. But the other family starts in verse 16. But you know, that first family we talked about, we all belong to that family. The family that has lust. You know, I was thinking about it as we were coming down here and flying on the airplane. And I thought, you know, it's not very natural for a plane to fly. You know, if I take this $2 piece and I let go of it, is it going to go up? Or is it going to go down? Not sure. It went down. If I do it again, maybe this time it will go up. No, it went down. If I did it 100 times, every time, it will go down, won't it? And that's the family we belong to, because we have this family trait of lust, and lust brings forth sin, and sin, when it's fully completed, it's death. And that's a problem. That's a problem. But the good side is in verse 16. James says, "Do not err, don't make a mistake, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." You know, when we want something, and it's that thing that we talked about called lust, and we want to reach for it, but God hasn't given it to us, like Eve. God didn't give her the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but she wanted it anyway, and so she reached for it and took it. She thought that God wasn't giving her something good. God said the whole garden is full of good fruit. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. But she didn't know about that, because I think she was double-minded at that time too. And I think that's kind of what it is when I kneel down and pray. And I think I want God's will. But I'm not sure if God's will is good. I think maybe my will would be better. What I want might be better than what God wants for me. And so I'm double-minded. And I go back and forth. Sometimes, I'm ashamed to say it more than sometimes, I think, I don't say it to the Lord, but it's in my heart to say, "Lord, if you'll just let me know thy will, then I'll decide whether or not I'll do it. But I really would like to know thy will. And then I'll decide whether or not to do it." Well, that's being double-minded, isn't it? Because I'm not trusting that my Father gives the best gifts in the world. It doesn't say good and perfect gifts come from God, but every good and perfect gift. Everything that we get that's good and perfect, it comes from our Father. Now you have a Father, and I'm sure He's given you good and perfect gifts. You know, I got a gift this afternoon. It was promised to me, and I got a gift. But I'd like to give this gift to someone. One of these you can have as a gift. You get to pick which one. Okay? One of these is better than the other. One of these is, I don't know if you can see that, one of these is, it's pretty close to good and perfect, and the other one isn't. One's a mud ball and one's a chocolate. Now, I'll leave it there for whoever wants to take it later. But, you know, a lot of times they look about the same. One looks like dark chocolate and one looks like light chocolate. And sometimes in our lives, our own will looks pretty good. I didn't do such a good job of making that one look like a chocolate, but my girls do pretty good with mud sometimes, and it looks like a good pie, and it looks chocolate, but it's not good. And that's not a good gift. And whoever takes that, I hope they don't take that gift because it's not good. But the good gift is the chocolate. It's a good gift. And so, how often it's a rebuke to me when I find myself going back and forth and unstable, to realize that I'm really not trusting God and His goodness to me. I'm thinking I'm afraid of God. I'm afraid what He's going to do to me if I trust Him. I'm afraid He's going to give me something that's not good and that's not perfect. But it's not so, is it? Well, I said we would talk about Reuben. So Reuben, I think, is a man that was unstable like that because he had a double mind. Let's read in Genesis 49 what Jacob, his father, said about Reuben. Genesis 49 and verse 3, he said, "Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power." That sounds very good. Then it says in verse 4, "Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel." See, that's why I think James talks about Reuben. Unstable as water. Reuben was born, and it was a happy day to Leah, his mother. And she said, "See, look, a son. I have a baby." It was her first son, and she was happy. So she called him Reuben, which means, "Look, a son. See, a son." But Reuben grew up, and one day he saw something that belonged to his father, and he lusted after it, and he took it. He was a double-minded man. And so Reuben was unstable as water in his life, because instead of being satisfied with what God gave him, he took something that didn't belong to him, like we had in James, lust. And lust gave birth to sin, and sin caused death. Sad story. So Reuben was unstable as water. You know, when Joseph came and his brethren were angry at Joseph, Reuben tried to save Joseph, but he couldn't do it. It didn't seem like his brothers would follow Reuben because he must not have had their confidence. Instead, they followed Judah. He just wasn't stable. Well, Reuben had children too. And one day, maybe you remember the story, they were coming to the land of Israel, God's promised land. And they looked at the promised land of Canaan, and the children of Reuben said, "It is a good land. It's a good and perfect gift, that land of Canaan. God was going to give it to them, and He promised it to them." But Reuben said, "We have a lot of cattle, and we have a lot of sheep. we'd like to stay over here instead of going to Canaan. We know Canaan is the promised land of God, but this land is the best place for us. So you see, he wasn't really satisfied with what God gave him, and so instead he stayed on this side of Jordan, and they built sheepfolds for their sheep. Well, time went on. And now let's look in Judges chapter 5. Judges chapter 5 and verse 15. Deborah, a lady named Deborah, is singing this song she wrote. And she says in the end of verse 15, she talks about Reuben. She says, "For the divisions of Reuben, there were great thoughts of heart." Now we might read that like this. In the divisions of Reuben, there were great resolves of heart. But she asks a question. She says, "Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleatings of the flocks? For in the divisions of Reuben, there were great thoughts," or great, a big word, "deliberations of heart," or "there was much debating." So here came a day in Reuben's family and his life, their lives, when the call came from God. And Reuben thought about it. And he thought about it. And he debated it. And he went back and forth. He said, "I should go." And then he thought, "Well, my sheep, here I hear all the sheep. That's why we're here, after all, because of our sheep." And he listened to the bleating of the flock. Back and forth, unstable as water. And so he didn't go because of his sheep. But you know, God has something for us. The best gift. He gives us so many gifts. But the best gift that he could give is in John 3:16. He gave his only begotten Son. And God gave that gift. And so maybe we heard about that gift and we said, "That is a good gift. But I'm not sure about it. I'm not sure." Maybe we do what my father said he did yesterday. He said he was, when he heard the gospel, he was afraid that he'd have to give something up, you know. And so maybe we hear of this gift and we say, "I should accept the Lord Jesus as my Savior. God gave him to be my Savior. He gave his own life on the cross. He died to save me. He shed his blood. And I should take him. It's a good gift. But there's these other things that are important to me, and I'm afraid I might have to give them up." And so we go back and forth. Well, I hope if there's that kind of thing in your heart today, like there was in Reuben's heart, a debating and a deliberating, should I do it or should I not? Well, take the gift of God. It's a lesson that we need to learn. We need to accept that gift of the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Because if you ask anybody in this room who's done it, they'll say that gift is so much better. You know, if I had to let go of something, God had filled my hand with a gift so much better. I walked home with mud in my hands. You know, I let it go and I took the chocolate instead. It was much better. And so, I hope there's a resolve in your heart, not a debating, but an accepting of that good and perfect gift, the will of God. Otherwise, you would just be double-minded. And then it's so hard in our lives, in my life, because, as I said before, sometimes I think maybe God isn't giving me what's best for me. And I'm afraid to trust Him, like Peter did. You know, he stepped out on the water. no, nothing stable in the water, but there was one in the water who was the rock. Yeah. And so he could trust him and he wouldn't sink. It's hard sometimes, isn't it? To trust God that he knows best for us. But that's the lesson I think that Reuben would teach us, to believe God and to accept his gifts because they're the best gifts. Does anybody else have a song? We've got a few more minutes. 63. Number 63.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So that not one spot remains. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other comes I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. But the blood of Jesus, not a good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Through it all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.